And good morning and welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner here at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan. I'm your host, Dave Watson. And on the corner here today, we'll be talking Rudyard Boys basketball with head coach Jim Suggett, senior boys player as well on the team, E.J. Suggett. Of course, the coach's son, they are here. We'll chat with the fellas here coming up in a little bit. Second half of the show, we'll play back an interview with the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Ewell. That's coming up later on in the program as well. All that this week in high school sports, much more. But first, to the scores that matter from last night. Sioux High Hockey, as heard here in the official radio home of Blue Devil Athletics, Radio Sioux, 1230 WSOO. Sioux High fell to Capital City 3-1. Capital City Capitals from just north of Lansing, a co-op program made up of northern suburbs in Lansing, DeWitt, St. John's, towns of that niche. And meanwhile, Sioux High fell 3-1. Cade Escheritz with the lone goal to take the lead 1-0 for the Blue Devils 5 minutes into the first period. Cap City tied it in the first, and that was 1-1 until the second, the third period of play, when the Capitals would score on a backhander, then get an empty netter, and Sioux High just ran out of gas as the Blue Devils fell by a score of 3-1. Several players out of the lineup for a variety of reasons, including goaltender Mike Bontrager in the net for Sioux High. So Tristan Forgrave played and played well. It was only his fourth start for Sioux High in the net. Blue Devil Icers home today to finish the Creighton Casino Showcase at the Big Bear Arena as they'll take on the West Ottawa Panthers of Holland, Michigan. Faceoff show comes your way around or a bit after 2:50. Matt Arbick will join yours truly for the call on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com. And the TuneIn app as well. In the early game last night, the Big Bear Arena, Petoskey won in a shootout 2-1 over West Ottawa of Holland, Michigan. Petoskey will tangle with Capital City at 1 today at the Big Bear Arena in the Coeden Casinos Showcase. High school hockey games of note at the North-South Showcase in Traverse City. Marquette fell in overtime to Livonia Stevenson 3-2. Escanaba down in the Cherry Capital. They downed Utica Eisenhower 2-1. Brownstown Woodhaven from downriver of Detroit doubled up on Kingsford 4-2. Houghton 5-1 winners over Detroit University Jesuit. Birmingham Brother Rice ices Calumet up in the Copper Country 5-2. And it was, meanwhile, Granville burying Alpena 7-1. Laker hockey gets blanked at home by the Fighting Joe Shons. Michigan Tech 3-0 over the Lakers. Lakers badly need a win. Same two teams tonight, 5:35 of the pregame over on today's Hits 99.5 SFM with Billy Crawford. CCHA teams in action last night. Northern Michigan upsets the top-ranked team in the country, Minnesota State 4-2. Ferris State skates past St. Thomas 3-1. Bemidji State ices Bowling Green 5-3. Big Ten, Michigan nips Penn State 3-2. Wisconsin pushes past Michigan State 5-2. And Notre Dame squeaks by Ohio State 3-2. National Hockey Conference, one game. Minnesota Duluth ices Miami 4-1. Several teams out due to COVID protocols. ECAC, same deal, COVID protocols. Only two games last night in the ECAC. Quinnipiac 3-0 over Harvard. Union slips by Yale 3-2. Hockey East, Merrimack 3-2 past Providence. Boston University 2-1 winners as well over Connecticut in action last night. Atlantic Hockey, Air Force 5-4 flying past Niagara. American International squeaks by Mercyhurst 5-4. Sacred Heart 5-1 winners over Bentley and Canisius. They were able to get the win in a shootout, 1-1 tie, and the Griffins win it in the shootout. Sioux Greyhounds off last night, home tonight to Owen Sound. That's a 6:35 pregame over on Rock 101. And tomorrow, home again at the GFL Memorial Gardens, 1:35 pregame on Rock 101 as well. Round the O from last night, it was Sudbury 8-4 over Kingston. Sarnia nipped Windsor 6-5. Ottawa doubled up on Peterborough 4-2. Several games did not play due to COVID protocols. Sioux AAA Indians games with Lake Forest Academy being canceled this weekend. Indians will play in an alumni game at the Puller Stadium at 4 today. Tomorrow, 1 p.m., they'll take on the Laker Hockey Men's Club team at 1 o'clock at the Able Arena in exhibition play. Girls basketball, Sioux High runs past Sheboygan 45-27. Blue Devils have won 3 in a row. They're now 8-3 overall, 2-1 in league play. And Sioux High's off till Friday at Newberry. And they'll be back in league play then. And meanwhile, today is Suhai Basketball's biggest fundraiser, the Sioux St. Marie Shootout Tournament at all youth levels, going on today and tomorrow at the Student Activity Center at LSSU. Proceeds go to both the boys and girls Blue Devil basketball programs, and that is going on again today and tomorrow. Other girls' contests last night: St. Ignace thumps Rudyard 51-37, Bulldogs' first loss in league play. Cedarville Detour at Pickford, Engadine at Brimley postponed. Escanaba hangs on over Hancock 58-53. Gaylord upends Traverse City Central 46-29. Petoskey wins a low-scoring game 32-25. Pass Cadillac. Calumet takes Marquette back behind the woodshed 69-27. Gladstone and Manistique postponed. Nagani dribbles by Ishpeming 37-25. Houghton 10 better than Ishpeming. Westwood 78-68. Superior Central nips the North Central squad 45-44. And meanwhile, it was Stevenson 48-32 winners past Crystal Falls Forest Park. Ironwood shoots past Painesdale Jeffers 42-41. Bessemer 38-32 winners over Lots, and North Dickinson blast Mid Peninsula 45-19. Today, Brimley was supposed to play at Superior Central, postponed. Brimley School still on a pause. They should resume on Monday, according to the press release yesterday. Games by then should resume as well. Kearney Nadu is at Milwaukee School of Excellence. And boys hoops last night, Suhai off. Blue Devils are at Marquette on Tuesday in action. Other boys games last evening: Newberry runs over Manistique 52-45. Cadillac shoots past Petoskey 57-46. Nagani runs over Ishpeming 43-34. Iron Mountain 48-40 winners over Gwynn. Calumet powers past West Iron County 52-18. Rapid River 10 better than Engadine 51-41. And Norway crushes Burke River Harris 61-22. Laker hoops, that schedule's all over the place, a mess. Laker men at Grand Valley State at 3 today. Tomorrow's game at Davenport postponed. Davenport's in COVID protocols. Other GLIAC men's games: Michigan Tech at Saginaw Valley State at 1, NMU at Wayne State at 3, Purdue Northwest at Wisconsin Parkside at 4, Ferris State at Davenport postponed. You guessed it. Women's hoops: Laker women still in pause due to the protocols. GLIAC teams in action: Michigan Tech at SVSU also postponed. Ferris State at Davenport tips off at 1. Northern Michigan at Wayne State at 1 in action as well. In women's basketball, it will be Northwood at Purdue Northwest at 2 o'clock. Those are the scores that matter and pertinent information. When we return, we'll talk Rudyard Boys Hoops with Jimmy and EJ Suggett. That's coming up in 2 minutes' time on 1230 WSOO. And we're back on Coach's Corner. We're joined by Jimmy and EJ Suggett with the Rudyard Boys basketball team. Of course, Coach Suggett and EJ, a senior player on the team. And first of all, thanks, guys, for battling the cold. You're tough guys. I know it doesn't matter. Jim probably came out in shorts and a tank top. But I really appreciate making the trek in here to the Sioux to Applebee's to talk Rudyard basketball. And, of course, Jimmy, thanks for bringing EJ along. I thought it was a good time to have him on with you. And, first of all, things looking good for Rudyard basketball. We'll start with you, Jim. Another win the other night. We'll talk about that in a moment. But clicking right along at 5-0 right now.
It was just good to be back in the gym and be able to play another team. Our kids, we went 23 days without playing anybody else. And, you know, the first two games, you know, from a coach's perspective, you're happy they're out there. But then you get to watch film and say, okay, guys, hey, we got some stuff we got to clean up.
5-0 record to start the year, as I mentioned. That first game was a dandy at Suhai to start the season. Let's go back to that because I was there. Of course, we had the game here on this radio station, and that was a fun one to call. And, of course, EJ hit the game winner. And it just seemed like you guys were determined as that game was in the waning seconds, down by one, I believe, that no, this is not how this is going to end. And you took matters into your own hands. Tell us a little bit about the final seconds, if you can remember back to early December, because it was a fantastic one.
Right. So they had that layup there with, I don't know how many seconds, 9 seconds or something like that.
Something like that.
We just wanted to get across half court and call a timeout, set up some type of out-of-bounds play, but Cam swung it back to me off the inbounds, and they just kind of parted away from me, and I just took the ball and hit a layup. I mean,
were you you obviously, Jimmy, this being your boy, have the confidence in him to, you know, be able to get that done in that situation?
Well, we talked about that You know, we wanted to get him to half court and see where we're at and see what's going to happen. But we do. We have three or four guys that can finish at any given time. So EJ had the ball in his hands going to the hole. I can always call a timeout any time.
Right.
Right up until that. So That's what we did.
Now, of course, Jim, you look at what's been really the key so far to the success. And, of course, there's been a lot of it going back to last year. You have a core group of guys back for the most part, and things really going good at 5-0. And you mentioned, you know, the 23-day break in between. But still, right now, you had that one game against Sioux High, but you've been able to take care of business so far here. What's been some of the big keys to being able to continue that success?
Well, you already mentioned one of them. There's a little shootout going on over there at Lake State. That's where all this started. These guys started playing 7-8 years ago, and the work ethic that they have has just carried over. So they've been in games. You know, when you can play that travel ball, you play 50, 60 games a year, and you get that experience, and you're used to getting beat, and you're used to having the ball in your hands. So it doesn't really matter what the score is, you get to the next play. And we've had all these guys have played in those tournaments. You know, thank goodness for Sue putting one on. We had that. These guys got to play it in the sixth grade. Otherwise, you're traveling, Dave. You're going to...
Right. Mount Pleasant.
Oh, Mount Pleasant would be close. Yeah. Jackson, Whitmore Lake.
Southern Michigan, all over the place.
Yeah, Fort Wayne. Yeah. I mean, so to have that, man, that place should just be packed. We should have all kinds of kids there. I think our redshirt team got beat by the Sioux team by 15 this morning. But what a great experience to have for those kids.
Yeah, and an old... kind of out the box thinking, even though, yeah, it's basketball, everybody does golf scrambles, and that a very good fundraiser, and the Sioux does a good job of putting that out. Pat Bennon really works tirelessly, Mike Fitzner and the boys program involved in that as well. But, you know, we had Carlos Molina on last week with the Red Deer Girls program, and I always ask, you know, folks in Red Deer this, you know, pertaining to this, and I'll continue it. And EJ, you know, I'll stay with you on this. You look at this, the multiple sports for the success for Red Deer sports. Of course, last week we talked with Carlos about the success of the girls with volleyball, basketball, softball, and it goes on and on. And then with the boys program, I can't remember where well-rounded, where both the girls and the boys have had success. And, of course, you've enjoyed it with football. I was in Sutton's Bay for that call there in the state semifinals in football. You had success at boys basketball. You continue there. And, of course, baseball has been very enriched in tradition. It's funny, just the success of the Rudyard Athletics, and you've been a part of it pretty much since you went in as a freshman.
Right, yep. I think it's just our group. The girls have a very similar group in this grade, but we've been playing these three, four sports our whole life, so you build that chemistry. You've been in those situations. You've played those type of games, and that definitely helps.
You know, Jimmy, you and I have talked about it. It really is. I'm trying to remember the last time, you know, you've seen an athletic program of, you know, as have the success in, you know, in some cases the dominance that Rudyard has had. And I like to bring it up a lot because I think it's kind of been understated by some people outside of Rudyard, and I think it's something that really should be celebrated because it really is impressive.
Well, and you know, you have to take that a step further. These guys are student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last couple of years, I think both the boys and girls have been excelling academically as well as athletically, and that commitment that they put into their studies carries over into their sports. So you see that when you have a 3.5 average or a 3.8 average on your football team or on your baseball team or on your basketball team, those kids just work a little bit harder. So that's nice to have. You know, you like to say it's the coaching. No, it's not the coaching. These guys do the work. Yep, you got to come and open the gym, but when you got two or three guys, hey, we lifting weights today? Yep, okay. Hey, can we open the gym? Yep, okay. So these guys are the guys that are driving that, you know, no different than their academics.
EJ Suggett and Jimmy Suggett with us, of course, on Coach's Corner at 11:21 from Applebee's. Mark Ewell will play that interview from the executive director of the MHSAA coming up the second half of the show, but we continue with the Suggetts. And EJ, you know, if you were to take anything away, of course, your dad's coached you pretty much, you know, from the beginning, I think, in multiple sports. What are the most important things you've learned, you know, from him, you know, as far as going up the ranks?
I would say to just have fun no matter what. It's a game. Don't make it too serious. Once it's not fun anymore, it's not worth playing. And there's always someone working harder than you. I mean, that always gives me motivation to keep going because I know someone somewhere else is working, so that gets me going to work as hard as I can.
Jimmy, you know, you've coached him the whole time, and of course, you always, you know, you make an emphasis to talk about the group with him and not just him. And of course, obviously, you're proud of him, but you talk about, you know, just coaching in general, and that is all the way across the board. You know, like when we mentioned before that, well, you know, EJ's really playing well, he did this, and you say, hey, I got four or five guys that could hit that shot. You've had a pretty good tradition as far as winning with these guys, and you mentioned all along that it's the work ethic that they bring to the table.
Oh, absolutely. When we go to the weight room, we got guys that are working there. And, you know, not everybody's a weightlifter.
Right.
So some people excel more, and you get a more push there. We run in the summer. Okay, guys, some other guys are a little more fleet of foot than others or built for running, and they kind of take charge. And you get back inside, and they just have fun. You know, you get to the gym, and they want to be there, whether they're playing a game, whether they're playing sevens, whether they're playing horse or pig or shooting or getting on the shooting machine. They have that where they kind of pick each other up and go. And that's just so nice to have in your program. You know, especially if your leaders are your hardest workers, that makes it a lot more easier as a coach.
Jimmy, you've mentioned this several times. You're not sneaking up on anyone. There's tough gyms in the EUP Conference, the Straits Area Conference, a battle night in and pretty much night out.
Yeah, and that was evident on Thursday night when Sedignus came to town. And they hung right with us, you know. And they don't per se have a big, but they got guys that can shoot it. They hit 10 threes on us. That's hard to defend when you have three or four different guys that can hit the three, and we're a defensive team that kind of stays in. So it was nice having Sedignus come in, and I don't know, I think it was tight the whole first quarter. And with those shooters, it always seems like it's like a four or five possession game because they can hit from anywhere. So,
you know, I said at the start of the year, Ray Bell and I were talking about looking at the Straits Area Conference, and of course, Redyard right at the top. With the success of last year, do you have your core group back of talented players? I said, look out for St. Ignace, because when you have a dynamic shooter like Johnny Ingles, I saw him in St. Ignace take over a game against the Sioux last year when the Sioux led for three quarters, and then he took over, and they have Eli North. They're a team that, you know, I said, look out for them, because they're not a patsy. They're right there, and I looked at that game the other night as an intriguing one as far as in Rudyard, St. Ignace coming in, because they're a team there that I think is right there to, you know, put a scare into people.
Yeah, they're young. You know, Eli and Shipley, I think, are their only two seniors, and then they got a couple of junior, Mattson's a junior, and then their core group are sophomores. So they're like our team was 2 years ago. You know, they're going to be really good next year, and then 2 years from now, oh, look out.
EJ, I have to congratulate you. Of course, earlier this week, you, of course, signed with Spring Arbor University to play baseball, of course, down in Jackson County, and congratulations on that. And what was it about going to Spring Arbor as far as your decision-making to go there and play baseball? You probably could, well, pick a sport because you've excelled at all three of them in the team sports you play, but what was it about Spring Arbor and playing baseball?
When we went and visited Spring Arbor, I really loved the atmosphere. Got to talk to their assistant coach. Their head coach was out, but he seemed like a really honest guy. Loved the way they said they were going to run the program, and I think they have something special going on there. As far as baseball, I wasn't sure which sport I wanted to do, but I ended up just picking baseball.
And, well, Jimmy, I'll give you this moment to, you know, stop being humble, because you always are when it comes to this. You know, you do a good job of deflecting it. But time to gush. It had to have been a proud moment for you and your wife.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I said, I'm a football guy.
Mm-hmm.
EJ, you know, football's okay, but it's been basketball for him and or baseball. And we spent a lot of time on the diamond. And when he was younger, those travel teams, he'd be on there, hey, can we go here? Can we go there? He would actually get out the computer and find tournaments for us to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for him to pick baseball and to find finance or actuarial science or something that he wants to do, that's just, it's fantastic. You know, and I hope when I was there, we went to visit, those coaches will let him work and will work him. And so I think he's coming from the same kind of program we have,
right,
and going to one. So I look for him to excel in that program, because they're going to foster that and fuel that fire for him. They're going to have fun. They're going to work hard. You're going to have your opportunities. And you're going to get called to the back shed if you're not doing what you're supposed to. And that was quite evident, too.
That baseball influence might have been from Grandpa growing up, too. He was a big guy of the diamond, loved baseball and softball. EJ, you look at, before he lets you get going, you know, this has to just be a blast for you right now. It's always fun when you win, but you win when you win with your buddies, and you've done it on the football field. You've done it on, of course, the basketball floor in particular. Success, of course, on the baseball diamond. But, you know, going to the state semifinals last year, you got a taste of that. I'd imagine hungry for more coming up this year in your senior campaign.
Absolutely, but I don't want to look too far ahead because we have some tough teams coming up. Our district's not going to be easy. Our regional, not going to be easy. So you have 6 or 7 games to get to where we got last year, and we still have 3/4 of our season left, so you don't want to look too far ahead.
Boy, Dad's really coached you well. You coached him well at this stuff, just as well as you do as far as competing on the floor of the football field, Jimmy.
It's just the truth, Dave. That's just the way it is. Anybody can sneak up and get you at any time. So, and really playing in our COVID age now, your next game could be your last one.
Very good point. That is definitely the case there. Guys, thanks for the time. Great to have you on here. And EJ, thanks for stopping by. Good luck, of course, the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Next year at Spring Arbor, we'll be pulling for the Bulldogs. As always, Jim, you're always one of the fan favorites to come on Coach's Corner, and I appreciate it. Thanks again for braving the elements, coming out here to Applebee's.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
All right, that's EJ Suggett and Jimmy Suggett with us here on Coach's Corner. We'll take a one-minute timeout. This week in high school sports coming up, Mark Yule to follow here on Coach's Corner. We're at Applebee's on 1230 WSO. Welcome back to Coach's Corner, presented by Applebee's. We are now joined by our good friend, the Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Yule, is with us. And Mark, thought it would be a good time to have you on to get it, I mean, no pun intended here, a temperature check with the Omicron variant raging on, of course, throughout the country and in the Great Lakes State as well. And member schools throughout the state have obviously been affected by it, Mark. And it's a bit different in how things were done last year at this time as far as games go. As games are being played, schools are making the call if they need to pause sports and things of that nature.
It is. Drastic change from where our government leadership was a year ago. You go back to, you know, you got to remember, you go back to last early January, we were still finishing 3 fall sports, and winter sports practice had not even started yet because we were all under the governor's executive orders and then later the Health and Human Services, their statewide epidemic order. So all of those have gone away. And what we've been doing since fall sports is the pause or quarantine decisions are now all made by each local county health department along with local schools. So you hit the nail on the head that, yep, COVID is impacting all of us, that COVID is still very much around, but yet COVID's not going away tomorrow. And I think where we are as a society today, which is different than a year ago, is we need to figure out how to coexist with this. We need to continue to be able to educate our kids. We need to be able to continue to do some of the activities that kids need now more than ever, of which high school sports is a big part of that. And that's why we're continuing, you know, to do what we're doing each and every day. So our winter sports are all scheduled. Those tournaments are going to start on time. And we'll just continue to take things on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis.
There have been recommendations by the MDHHS as opposed to mandates, and really that's the big difference. It just seems like a better situation. They did recommend to the superintendents, I saw a story, I think around New Year's, of having perhaps a pause on sports and other extracurricular activities. But I, again, caution, those are just recommendations and things of that nature.
They are, and I think many of our schools have done the right thing, because if we in the school sports world, and we saw this a year ago during the statewide pauses, that when we shut down school sports, kids are going to go find activity, and it's going to be in the non-school world.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what was going on last November and December when we were really on a statewide pause. hundreds of our kids every single weekend were pouring into Indiana and Ohio for different travel club AAU type tournaments. And I can guarantee you that the health and safety protocols are being followed in the scholastic sports world, and in that non-sports world, and when you go back to last winter, they were not. So I think our schools are smart enough to realize that we've got to coexist with this virus, and we're going to keep educating kids. And a big part of educating our kids is also keeping our high school athletic programs moving forward. And hats off to our superintendents, board members, and other administrators who are doing just that.
And they're doing it very seamlessly too. And you know, if a school district needs to take a pause, like locally here in the EUP, Brimley did. They are currently in one right now. They felt that was the for the betterment of their school district and with sports. And they have no school going on right now as we speak. They felt that was in their best interest. They of course went through all the protocols and things of that nature. And you know, these are smart people. These superintendents. These people that run these schools, you know, you deal with all the time, you know, and they, of course, have great health people around them, and they know what's going on. They know what to do in these situations. I just think it's just is a much better, smarter thing just to leave it in the hands of these educators.
Absolutely, because, you know, the conditions in Brimley may be much different than the conditions in the Sioux. It mm-hmm. may be different than the conditions at Detour. You just never quite know. And one of the real shortcomings last year with statewide orders and mandates is there were many parts of our state that would have been able to continue on having kids face-to-face and continuing to play sports. So I think when you give it to local control, so a community like Brimley who has to go on pause, and those schools that were scheduled to play Brimley, you just continue to be flexible, and you see if you can pick up St. Ignace or, you know, another kind of local school. And that's what our schools have really done going back to the fall, and it seemed to have worked out quite well. So, no, I think giving some trust and responsibility to those running local school districts has been a good thing, and we'll continue to do it.
Mark Yule is with us, of course, the executive director of the MHSAA. And Mark, I always ask you this question, and I think it's an evolving type thing. You know, where are you at now as far as going forward, and you know what you've learned? Have you learned anything more as far as this year as opposed to last year? Because this thing continues to, like a snowball, keeps on being around us in COVID.
You know, that's a really good question. I do know I'm sick of it. We're now going on. This is now affected. This is the third school year that COVID is made an impact. And, you know, if we're dealing with COVID yet a year from now, we'll have an entire group of kids that every year during their high school experience that COVID was just an everyday reality, which is really too bad because, you know, kids only get the chance to be in high school once. You only kind of get your chance to ride that four-year merry-go-round one time. And it's just been sad because I think our kids have missed out on a lot of things. Now, looking big picture, I think there's a lot of life lessons in terms of being able to just grind through some pretty challenging stuff on a day-to-day basis and having some real toughness and perseverance. I think is something that our kids who have lived through this, it's going to make them, I think, better equipped adults. And so if there is a silver lining in what we've all lived through here the last going on 2 years, it's I think we've got a pretty resilient group of teenage kids who have had to deal with some things that they should not have had to deal with yet. And I think that will pay off very positively down the road.
They've dealt with a lot more adult things than you or I and people even older than us had to deal with throughout the course of their school tenure. It really is amazing when you think about it.
It is, and it's not just, you know, and whenever we get to visit, we talk sports, but it's been, you know, the homecoming dances that have been canceled or the proms, and, you know, graduation has looked so different for so many communities. I mean, all of those bucket list life events that have been part of every high school kid for decades, those were no longer givens. Those were no longer guarantees. And that's what I think is just really, really sad. Now, You know, a few positive things I'm sure have come out of this. You know, the advent of virtual meetings, you know, I think I now keep in touch better with friends and family that I have that live in places far and wide who, you know, 5 years ago, the only time I would have seen them were the few times that we would travel to visit each other. And now I think what Zoom has shown us is, you know, the once a month check-in and getting able to see those people face-to-face, well, that's not all bad. So there have been some little things. You know, I think the challenges have outweighed certainly the positive benefits of what we've had to learn through COVID. But I think all in all, you know, we've really got a group of kids and adults, too, who I think have become more mentally strong and more mentally resilient. And hopefully that will pay off for all of us down the road.
And it's been nice to see the fans back, you know, in the stands. And another thing, and another, you know, this is the case at all across Michigan. It's even nice, the little things like the pep bands. Like Sue High's had their pep band at a few basketball games of recent time. And I remember saying to my partner on the air, that, you know, with Ray Bell, who broadcasts basketball with me, I say, this is nice. This is back to the way it should be. So slowly we're going back to those things, having people in the stands, having the camaraderie of pep bands and the cheerleaders and things of that nature.
You bet, because, you know, for those kids who are part of the band, those kids who are part of a pom-pom team or a cheer squad, you know, those kids were kind of left out the last 2 years. So, No, we did what we had to do last year with only parents being allowed to attend. But, you know, an awful lot of grandparents and an awful lot of aunts and uncles and friends, and plus those student body cheering sections, which are such a big part of the fabric of high school sports. All that's looked really, really different. So, Dave, you're 100% correct. It has been nice to see our kids able to compete in front of people rather than just a few dozen and everybody else watching online. That is for sure.
Amen to that. And I'll pivot a little bit to, of course, talking about the different sports. In a couple of questions I've been having, number one, I wanted to ask you, and we'll start with, you know, last year we didn't have this because, of course, we had the truncated season. It was a different situation, you know, from football to basketball to all sports. But basketball, a couple of years ago, right before COVID hit, had the new seeding system. Is that still in place? And any tweaks to that for basketball talk pertaining to the playoffs?
Nope, that is still in place. So you're the Michigan Power Rating, MPR, and if you go to our website, MHSAA.com, you can follow your school, both boys and girls basketball, in terms of how they're doing, where their MPR would rank them within their district. And we do take the top two teams and we separate them out in the bracket when it comes to district play time. What's new, and I know the Eastern UP is a big hockey area. Ice hockey, for the first time this winter, is also using MPR to seed their regionals. So the whole goal with seeding and using that power ranking is it's unfortunate when, with the old blind draw, the top two teams ended up having to play each other right away on the first night of the tournament. And at least with using MPR, we do separate one and two, increasing the likelihood that the two best teams aren't going to have to face off each other until it's the night of the district final or the regional final. And that's been a good change, I think, across the board.
Yeah, because if both those teams were fortunate enough to get to the championship game, it could help your gate and help everything in that situation. As far as, you know, you look at with the seeding, the other thing I was, you know, thinking about, and I would have asked this 2 years ago, I forgot about it with everything else that went on, but that is, you know, I always thought that there should be perks, you know, if you go through a season and being able to be a top seed, that you get a bye in the first round if it is a, you know, kind of an odd district of seven teams, in which that is the case up here with, like, you know, Sault Ste. Marie, because they're in a big district, of course, with some northern Lower Peninsula schools. But I've always thought that you know, there should be a reward for that, because you go through a 20-game season having the best record in that district, then you should get top billing along with a perk of that nature.
And that we have added in. So as we've done the seeding, one of the new dimensions for last year was, and again, this got completely missed because everybody was just so focused on, hey, we're actually having a basketball tournament during COVID.
Right.
Is one of the tweaks. Now, not just separating one and two in different ends of the bracket, but we now do guarantee that if there is one bye in the bracket, so it's 17 district, the number one seed gets the bye. And then if there are two byes in a bracket, it does go to number one and number two. So as things have gone on, you know, there was a little bit of a connection. Well, that the charm of the random draw, and we need to hang on to some of that. Well, as we've started to separate the one and two seeds, kind of some of those more traditional seeding methods have also been added in as we went. So, no, this year, if the school that, you know, your listeners follow are the one or two seed, they are going to be guaranteed a bye. They would be guaranteed to not see the other top seed until the final, and we think that's an improvement.
You know, and it really has been, you know, a journey through the whole thing, Mark. And you know, 2 years ago, of course, there's always going to be complaints. You know, it's not a perfect world. But, you know, I thought it was a better system. And then now you add that. I think that this makes a lot of sense, because I really like it, because you get towards the end of the regular season, you know, a lot of coaches say they don't watch it, but they do. And before you get to the draw, they're like, well, we got a jockey for positioning here, and it kind of makes the regular season really matter.
Absolutely, it does. And you know, and people really follow NPR closely, and you can kind of guess what your bracket is going to look like come at the end of the year. And you know, and we'll just use the Sioux area girls this year. You know, their district has changed a little bit to where it's the Sioux. And then it's four downstate schools. So it's the Sioux, and then it's Boyne City, Sheboygan, Kalkaska, and Kingsley. So there have been some years. I know last year the Sioux got beat. I think it was by either Marquette or Escanaba.
Escanaba.
It was Escanaba in the district. Escanaba, if I remember right, just shot the lights out that night.
Yes,
from
they
three.
Did.
Well, now it's a little different mix, and certainly now with being in a five-team district and having a strong regular season as the Sioux has so far, you know, that would guarantee them one of the byes and hopefully could set them up for a long run here in the postseason.
Mark Ewell is with us, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, chatting about, of course, high school sports. And the one other question I had, and of course, you know, it's kind of off the mark right now because we have all kinds of snow around us up here in the Sioux, and what you have down there, of course, it's frigid temperatures and that. But that is, last time we talked was about the football playoffs and how that changed. Any discussion as far as any adjustments going in next year yet?
So, actually, Steve Lockwood and I had a conversation, who, of course, is the AD there at the Sioux, because the Sioux was one of the handful of schools that did not make the playoffs after having gone 6-3. So we knew that when we moved to strength of schedule, that could really hurt some of our larger schools that happened to play in a league or conference that had some smaller schools, which, you know, that's the Sioux's you know, football situation to a T. So it's something we're looking at. Our football committee does meet here later on in the month of January. Some of the things that we're going to look at is there support? And we've done some surveying of our schools. Well, do we continue to qualify for the playoffs, or do we devise a system where it's an 8-game regular season schedule and then everybody gets into the playoffs that first week? And there is some sentiment out there that could make regular season scheduling much easier. You're now not excluding teams and potentially breaking up some football leagues or conferences because of strength of schedule. Because if we stay with strength of schedule, a school like the Sioux, I think, seriously has to look at what league they're going to play in football, because they can't continue to be the largest school by a long shot,
right,
in a league of, even though there's some good small school, you know, Kingsley, a great example. You know, Kingsley had a great year, but they're almost half the enrollment of the Sioux, and that just doesn't help them come playoff qualification time. So something that's on the front burner, getting a lot of conversation, and we'll see where our football committee wants to go here in a couple weeks.
Sounds good, Mark, and thanks as always for joining us. So we really appreciate it for coming on Coach's Corner.
You bet, Dave.
Good to be with you. All right. That's Mark Ewell, of course, the executive director of the MHSAA. And, of course, we always like to have Mark on. And when we return here on Coach's Corner from Applebee's, what's on deck in the close-up shop? That's next here in a couple minutes on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back here on Coach's Corner from Applebee's. Time to close up shop here on the corner for this fine Saturday. And quick what's on deck. It's, of course, time for that. And our broadcast here on our family of radio stations. Suhai Hockey closes out the Quaden Casinos showcase today. Blue Devils will take on West Ottawa High of Holland. Face-off show around or a bit after 2:50, 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Matt Arbick will join me for that broadcast. Laker Hockey is home tonight. The Michigan Tech and the Fighting Joe Shawns pregame at 5:35. At the Able Arena with Billy Crawford on today's Hits 99.5 USFM. Sioux Greyhounds are home tonight at the GFL Memorial Gardens to Owen Sound, 6:35 of the pregame on Rock 101. Detroit Red Wing Hockey, they're at the Little Caesars Arena hosting Buffalo tonight, 6:45 on Radio Sioux. Detroit Pistons basketball tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. against one of the top teams in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, and that will be on News Talk 1400. Tuesday, it's a Laker hockey show at noon over on News Talk 1400, and that will be noon to 1 p.m. And as well, Bill Crawford and a cast of thousands of head coach Damon Witten on that program. Monday's the game with Scott Nason. That will not take place this week. Scott will be back with another show, with his first show back, and that will be a week from Monday on the 27th as well. Stay tuned to Country 105 for the EUP Game of the Week and games for boys and girls basketball throughout the week on Country 105. Blue Devil boys basketball home to Newberry on Thursday here on Radio Sioux about 7 o'clock with the tip-off show. And we would like to thank the Suggett boys for joining us. Jim Suggett, the head coach of boys basketball, and player E.J. Suggett, executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Mark Ewell, for being on the program. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning here at Applebee's on the Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, 11:05 a.m. till noon here on Radio Sioux. Radio, or rather replays of Coach's Corner can be heard at podcast.1230wsoo.com. Meanwhile, Coach's Corner is a sports presentation at 1230 WSOO. For the gang here at Applebee's, today's broadcast engineer, Izzy Stratton. I'm your host, Dave Watson. That will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.